the bling that makes them watch us, the awkward lean in a car that's topless. I got the things I cut and chop them. I sell that ostrich. I'm so obnoxious. Zan, zan, zan. Zan, 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 zan. Welcome, bienvenue, I don't know, to episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Lebanon. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, July 12, 2025. And in case you were wondering, yes, it's freaking hot. It's freaking. I said use. You know it's hot because I used the word freaking hot in the 613. Today's episode is also a rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeling as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast was not meant for you. All right. Shout out to all you listeners. Everyone who can hear the sound of my voice. And before we continue, I'm going to ask to take a pause, to take a deep breath, and applaud yourselves. Applaud yourself for living, applaud yourself for listening, applaud yourself for existing in a world that doesn't want you to. Oh, you know, I should say existing authentically in a world that doesn't want you to. And this happens to be your first time listening to this podcast, and welcome. Always that first step, but here's hoping I say something that resonates and ends up allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website. ShutUpPodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. Holla at your boy. Now, this podcast is, I want to remind you, this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. In today's episode, titled 282, My Career as a Drug Dealer, first of all, to CSIS, FBI, law enforcement agents listening to this, you're welcome to listen, but this is not me. This is not an episode about me admitting to crimes with this episode, but you're welcome to listen. You're welcome to continue to listen. But this episode, I talk about Cleep's latest album, Let God Sort Them Out, and explore my complicated relationship with drug rap as both entertainment and a form of escapism. You know, I think in the description, I'm just going to say that I talk about the album and my feelings about it. With that said, before we do that, I'm going to do some quotes and some randomness. It's the bling that makes them watch us, the awkward lean in the car that's awkward. Wait, no. The awkward lean in the... Oh, man, I fucked up the lyrics. If you can't tell, I have a clipped verse stuck in my head right now. And unfortunately, my problem becomes your problem. Okay, let's go. First quote. Love the game like Mitch. First quote goes, If an introvert talks a lot around you, just know that's a big deal. It means they feel safe with you. Trust doesn't come easy for us, so don't take it for granted. And of course, some people take it for granted. And next one goes, pardon me as I adjust the volume in my headphones. Next one goes, we don't create a fantasy world to escape reality. We create it to be able to stay. Linda Berry. Next one is escapism isn't good or bad itself. What is important is what you are escaping from and where you are escaping to. Terry Pratchett. The last quote is, because it really, it falls in line with the today's feature thought. And it's a quote from The Wire. And if you haven't seen The Wire, shame on you. It's difficult for me not to judge you, but yeah. All right. So it's from the character, one of the characters, his name's Bodhi. He says this at the beginning of season 3, episode 1. And spoiler alert, I guess. He goes, man, look, you live in the projects, you ain't shit. But you sling product there, you got the game by the ass, man. Bodhi. All right. That's it for quotes. Let's jump into some randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Boom. First thing I need to just, for those who were listening to the last episode, 281. Right. There was a name change. Initially, it's just curious. Initially, I was going to call it 281 Money for Atari. But then my brain, my weed-infested brain, miraculously remembered that I had already used that title before. Now, again, it's my goddamn podcast. You know, I could repeat titles as much as I want. But in this particular case, it was interesting to know that the theme had the same idea. So 124, honestly, I can't remember what it was about, but 281. I'm too stuck in my ways. Both relate to struggles to change. The struggle you have, you know, you're going to therapy and then you find a good reason to make a change and that resistance to change. Like for some of you, it's an easy habit to pick up, but for every once in a while, there's sometimes change is not easy. Or growth. Sometimes you want to resist that change. And that's what those two episodes just happen to be about. Oh, and what those two episodes, the other thing those two episodes have in common is they both got their titles from a verse in Jay-Z's track, Never Change.
So you're a philosopher?
Well, I forgot to add this to the agenda, but let me just quickly write that down. And I think I'm going to label this one Brock and Drake. Brock as in Brock Turner and Drake. I could probably get sued by Drake for making that comparison. No, what's inspired this randomness, this random thought is how I still reading. I'm still reading the book Know My Name. I'm getting close to for it to being done, despite the fact that I pace myself. And I just thought that came to mind is when the Brock Turner sexually assaulted Chanel Miller, I really blanked out on it. I nearly called her Emily Chow. Excuse me, Emily Doe. And but her real name is Chanel Miller. After the case, it was in the news all over the place. It was such a heinous act. A part of me wanted to believe that. I'm naive, right? I'm a dreamer. Forgive me, I'm a dreamer. But part of me wanted to believe that Brock would learn from his lessons, would take this and be like, oh, wow, yeah, what I did was fucked up. My bad. Or, you know, it's like, fellas, don't be like me. Or I don't know. I guess maybe I watched too many movies. I figured that, okay, I did, you know, like when you watch the movie, the character does something bad and then 30 minutes and then they learn from their lessons and, you know, I learned a valuable lesson. women should be treated like human beings, or raping is bad. You know, something like, I don't know, whatever, whatever the fuck. I expected that only to, you know, reality kicked in, and you can tell that he's surrounded by people saying it's not your fault. I read that he's, I don't know if it's an impact statement or his defense or his idea was, he's still, in his mind, it's all because of blaming all the alcohol. It's all the alcohol's fault, man. If it wasn't for the alcohol, and let's admit, you know, you drank some too, you know, what the fuck were you thinking being vulnerable around a dude like me, whatever. But in his mind, it has nothing to do with rape culture. It has nothing to do with the fact that he's a piece of shit. No, it's the alcohol. It's one single decision to drink alcohol. Like it's as bad as him saying, the devil made me do it. All right. I remember preacher's kid over here, right? I'm used to the devil made me do it excuse. Except in his case, the devil was alcohol. So there's no, what's the word? There's no learn. There's no growth. There's no, nah, man, I'm going to live and die. Like in my mind, this Chanel Miller woman is making a big deal out of nothing. Anyway, I guess, I don't know. I think this is one of those disappointing at how the world actually is. There is no, that dude, based on what I've been reading, or even on the book, that dude has no, he's surrounded by people telling him that it's not your fault, or if it was, it's not that serious, or, you know, it's not that, yo, this, why does she have a book out? Why is she making a big deal out of it? Like, it's like, let's just blame the victim. It's one of those. I'm bothered at the lack of accountability and all that shit. So, where's the link between that and Drake? It's because I just saw this video of Drake talking shit about Kendrick. Okay, actually, he's going to tell you it wasn't me talking shit. It was his fans talking, you know, saying fuck Kendrick. He was at a show, and then but he did say something like, I'll drink to that. It's like, dude, did you really not learn your lesson? And I think it's here's the thing. It'd be different if it was just a rap beef. That verse by Kendrick was beyond a diss. It was a grievance. I keep saying that. It was a grievance. you think Oakland's gonna let you disrespect Pac, nigga? I hope you're what up. You know, he's foul. He's the grievance by Kendrick were justified. And Kendrick and Drake is playing along like, nope. He's there's no learn. There's no growth. I think maybe it's one of those I expected more from these celebrities, but again, I'm a dreamer. And this is one of those shattered innocence, just accepting this is the world that we live in. I guess it's the reason I have those two names together is just huge disappointment in the lack of learn from this moment situation. They're going to die. They might, you know, I want to have hope, hold out for hope, but they're very likely going to go to their grave being, I didn't do anything. It was never my fault. And that bothers me. Now I say this thinking that, holy shit, wait. I say this because now I said this shit out loud. Am I going to have one of those moments that's like, nah, it was never my fault? Am I going to... Because now I got to worry about myself doing... No, I'm not saying that I would commit a crime as bad as Brock Turner or be a piece of shit like Drake. What I am saying is... Because I believe in, if you're pointing fingers at someone, three fingers are pointing back at you, then, you know, you got, for every time you diss someone, you got to do your own self-reflection. And yeah, no, I'm, I like to believe that every opportunity, look at you trying to give yourself credit. The thought I was going to say is I would like to believe that every moment I've always learned from my mistakes, but I'm sure there's been times where I like, nah. I'm fuck that. I'm going down with the ship. I don't know. Okay. I'm just saying, I'm a huge disappointment. I'm disappointed by these two, but hey, when Drake's case, that's what I get for looking up to a celebrity, and Brock Turner's case is, that's what I get for expecting, you know, maturity from a rapist. I don't know, but like the same behavior from a, you know, things like that. Honestly, like, the crime Brock committed will never go away. But the best he would be able to do, the best outcome would be him being like men. Let me explain why I fell. Let me talk about my feelings. This is what's wrong with, this rape culture shit is real. And this is how, because there's other Brock Turners out there. And right now they're looking at him going, okay, continued denial. Never happened. Whatever. I said what I need to say. Disappointed. Huge disappointment.
So you're a philosopher?
All right, let me look at the time. This one is... I have three items, but I look at them and I can tell that I can talk my ass off about them. So I'm trying to pace myself. So let me think this through. Okay, I'm going to start with this one going. The goalpost moving. This one falls under church ratchetness. And church ratchetness is my opportunity to talk shit about the church. And because, you know, preacher's kid / former Christian, that's what happens, right? That's what happens when you're a preacher's kid. All that repression turns into, well, in my case, hatred. Anyway, so this clip I'm about to play is about how being gaslighted by Christians who like look down on us former Christians. But the title this content creator uses, goalpost moving is a common manipulation tactic used by people who mean you no good. Be mindful. All right, I'll just play the whole clip.
Here are some of religious people's goalpost moving greatest hits. You were just in the wrong church or denomination. Why is Christianity always demonized and criticized? Why not these other religions? Mm. Even though other religions are demonized and criticized all the time. I'm sorry you were hurt. That wasn't God. That was people. Oh, see, you went through that and you left because you were following man, not God. Not all churches are like that. That sounds like church hurt. Well, see, that's where you're wrong. Christianity isn't a religion. It's a faith walk. See, that's where you're wrong. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. Oh, you left Christianity? Well, that means that you were never really saved. Who cares? You better repent. You better repent before it's too late. Ooh. You know why they say these things? Well, they're trying to shift the focus, number one, from your question or the issue at hand, because number one, it makes them uncomfortable because they don't know the answer. Yep. And number two, they don't want to have to evaluate and think about these things for themselves, because then the wheels will start turning in their own minds. And, you know, who wants to change? Who wants to deconstruct? Yep. Who wants to really evaluate what they believe and ask themselves why they believe it? They don't. It's comfortable. So they stay comfortable. Also, they're trying to make you doubt your own reality, which is also known as gaslighting. Also, they want to say these things to try to manipulate you into either staying in the group or returning to the group. And finally, this is a hard one, but they're saying these things to insult your intelligence. They think we're all simple. Don't fall for it.
Message.
All right. Content creator's name is, just a sec, it's Nakia Ashe. Am I pronouncing that right? I'm always fucking up people's name. Nakia Ashe. A-E-S-H-A. If I was reading that in French, that's good. Asha. Goddamn English language. All right, okay. Push it. What was I saying? The silence is me trying to avoid using bridge words. and it's driving me crazy. Right, what was I saying? Now, I don't know, in the one part she said their intention is to insult your intelligence. I never took the time to think about their look. I'm nitpicking here, but I agree with her. I agree with her. In my case, what I'm getting at is at the core of my rejection of Christianity, at the whole core, it does it, whatever they tell me, every time they come at me, anyone, mom, dad, whatever the fuck, comes at me with whatever excuse, goal posting and stuff, at the core of everything is they want it more than I do. This is where Christianity went wrong for me, is because it was something that was forced into me as opposed to allowing me to evolve into it. Like, there was a time where I actually, of course, I was, as a teen, I was rebelling against the church and all that. And then I, as an adult, there was a time where I was doing the whole reading the Bible, was like trying to like make that shit into a religion. But I couldn't repress the fact that this shit is the religion of my oppressors, of my violent oppressors. And the only reason I'm Christian now is because an ancestor, you know, got the shit kicked out of them. And if they didn't accept that religion, you know what I mean? Also, with all the bullshit going on, I kind of need Jesus. Not white Jesus. I kind of need, fuck it. I need Jesus to show it up and be like, okay, they're wrong, these people are right, or everyone's wrong, or whatever. Like that, no more explanations from, you know what? I was going to say, no more explanation from the uninspired. I stole that term from Talal Macy in this poem. He goes, I'm tired of being preached to by the uninspired. So everyone seems to like have like some kind of better connection to Jesus than the rest of us do, and they feel entitled to tell you all, this is how you need to interpret whatever. Anyway, so all this to say, if you're one of those Christians trying to like get me like, hey, you need to come back to get back in the fold, it's like, don't waste your time. If you want to do something, pray for me. If you really believe in your creator, just pray for me. I'm laughing because I had an idea of, fuck that. Fuck that. You won't accept Jesus? I hope you burn in hell. How Christian of you. But I really felt that one. So shout out to her for sharing that one word. Let me look at the time. All right, one more clip.
So you're a philosopher?
This one is going under Gunnar Conspiracy. I kind of like what he said. I'm actually going to play the whole clip and then take it from there.
I think there's a gooning conspiracy going on in this country. Let me be as clear and concise as possible. All of the right-wing controlled apps, Instagram and X, push gooning content so heavily. It doesn't matter what you use Instagram for, your Discover page is full of BBLs. Hella ass. On X, every reply to every tweet is just an OF bot trying to push content. Well, why is this a problem? What are the dots I'm trying to connect? Well, let's go. Let's take a peek into my dark and twisted mind. Did you know that the average age people start watching corn is 11 years old? If these kids are on Instagram or they're on X, they're going to see corn. What are the effects of corn on your mind? It causes you to be antisocial. It causes you to be bad at eye contact. And it teaches you to objectify women, which teaches you to hate women.
All right, I'll stop it there. I'll let you watch it yourself. But in the end, he makes a link between gooning. Gooning, for those who don't know, is it an addiction to porn? But, you know, all over into being into porn, but like next level, like at an unhealthy level. And makes that and becoming a right wing Trump supporting, or I don't support Trump, but I'm not a Trump supporter, being like in that category of being a dysfunctional male. That's what I'm getting at. And the reason I stopped it there is because the part where he says causing you to objectify women. And that's the part that like locked in the most in this whole conspiracy theory. Whether you think it's true or not, that's not the point. But what he was saying about the link between porn and objectifying women, that he repeated. I can't remember how old I was. Let me try to do the math here. how old I was when I discovered porn, but it was a very young age. And I'm convinced that my life went downhill from there. All my failed relationships, all my bad. If there's a woman out there saying "fuck me, black," from back in the days, from my unenlightened days, I can trace it all back to that moment. Am I calling it an excuse? No, but what I am saying is, I do remember. Said that I remember that moment. I'm trying to remember how old I was. I'll do the math later, but it was probably before 11 or 10 years old. But one thing's for sure, my confused mind grew up into being dehumanizing women, B, misunderstanding of what sex was supposed to be. Like, I grew up, I spent my early adults, believing that, oblivious of the fact that sex is something you do with a woman, not to a woman. Like, all my miseducation started there. Like, I joke about how sex ed class didn't help, but also having parents who were like, you know, yeah, he'll figure it out. Well, we're not going to talk to him about sex. That's way too awkward. Right, he'll figure it out the same way we did. Yeah, whatever. And but especially the dehumanization of women. I'm going to say something fucked up. I haven't figured out how to put this in word, but fuck it. My goddamn, I'll say it on this podcast. So I'm 50 now. And I'm unlearning a lot of these dismissed education. And one thing I found that, watch my words, I said, women became less interesting once I started to embrace, accept, recognize, acknowledge their humanity. They were no longer this being on a pedestal that decided who were kings, who amongst us men were worthy of being called real men. They were no longer the source of validation. They were no longer, you know, like, I think some of us men, we grew up like the same way we are appealed for, like, nice cars, nice clothes, and a big booty chick, big booty girl. Like, they were all objects that you use to, like, ingratiate yourselves to get to have, oh man, is that your girl? To get that, you must be doing something right if this pretty girl with a fat ass is with you. You know what I mean? It's just, anyway, all my ignorance started there. And I'm not trying to say, you know, this ain't an anti-porn shit. I just had a thought of Brock Turner saying, okay, it wasn't liquor, but it was porn. all I'm saying is, if I was miseducated, ignorant towards women, if I'm able to understand creepy men, it all started there. Now, what would I change differently is, I think if I had a child, if I was raising a boy and he discovered porn, I would talk to him in a way where it didn't feel awkward, where he could ask all these questions and being like, hey, dude, that shit is a form of entertainment. It's not real. Yes, sex is, you know, all that. But, you know, just healthy conversation. Needless to say, I would have had to Google it, how to talk to your child about sex in a healthy way so he doesn't grow up and being fucked up and shit. Growing up, sending dick pics to women, thinking that's the way you pick up, you know, that's how you gotta pick up them hoes. You gotta, you know, you gotta take a right angle picture of you, whatever. All right. Look, I was just sheer ignorance. But anyway, so, and the next level of associating it to right wingers. Yeah. If I still had that mindset of women are, Eve bit the apple, women were put on earth to serve us. If I still had that mindset, yeah, I could see how I would be like, you know what? I may not like Trump, but at least he's I was going to say use, but he's trying to reestablish the natural order of things. Problem with the natural order of things is black people are not in that order. Anyway, whatever, man. All I'm saying is I'm giving credit to the theory, and you could check out the clip for yourself. All right. Okay. That's it, gang. I did have one more. I'll tell you what. I'll leave it in. It's the question, if black people were so great, why were they conquered? I tell you what, I think I'm going to cover that on another episode because I can feel myself talking very long about it. But I will leave the link in the show notes so you can check it for yourself. Another item I was going to talk about is, before I jump to future thought, is I'm not going to put this in the show note, but I was made aware of, like in the United States, for those of you who are not aware, I'm in Canada right now, but in the United States, you've heard about ICE. Oh, rumor is that, I won't go with speculating into rumors, but Drake's is coming out with a new album. It's called Iceman. It's in reference to ICE, but that's, I don't know. You want to be careful, man. Ice Cube, Ice-T, y'all might want to change your name unless you want to be linked to ICE. Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement folks. So there's a form out, I call a snitch form, where you can report on there. You can put a name and report people who you suspect are in the country, in the United States, illegally. And if I could fill this out anonymously, I would like report Melania Trump. So yeah, check her visa. Someone should, you know. I don't know how many people put Trump's name in there. Go to him. But anyway, it's kind of fucked up. I'm reading this and you can put people's name just randomly. I guess you got to put your phone number. And suspected violation, benefit marriage fraud, asshole. Wow. I'm sure there's a dude, there's a passport bro getting ready to report his girlfriend/or his partner to the ICE. Bulk cash smuggling, finance, child. Anyway, it's fucked up. It's fucked up, man. Which is why you won't catch me in the United States. Especially, God forbid, they make a link between my passport and this podcast. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't make it locked up. All right. Okay. That's it, gang. C2, all right? Let's jump to feature thought and, get the fuck out of here. Hey, I forgot to mention at the beginning, it's a Saturday, July 12th. The reason it's a big deal for you new listeners is usually I record on a Sunday. And on the last episode, I said that, let me try. I was inspired by the rap album by Kota the Friend, K-O-T-A, Kota the Friend. And his latest album is called No Rap on Sunday. And so I'm thinking of no podcasting on Sunday so I could just spend the day not doing shit. Yes. So I can stay up late. All right. Okay. All right. So I'm proud of myself. Boom. Saturday check. All right. Let's jump to news and random thought. But before we do that, let's take a quick break. I'm from Virginia, where ain't shit to do but cook. Pack it up, sell it, triple price. Fuck the books. Where we re-up, relocate, we off the rooks. So when we pull up, it ain't shit to do but look. Oh, hey, I'm back. Forgot. Oh, my bad. I feel like this should be a Clips appreciation episode. But yes, that's not a verse from their first album. Excuse me, that was not a verse from their latest album. That was from their first album. And you know what? Here's the thing. I did not start out as a Clips fan. As a fan of Clips, the rap group. And I'm not sure. Like, you know, whatever. The club hits, for sure. But I think the day it grew on me is on the first album. Let me make sure I recite that verse properly. It's, give me a second. All right, the clip I'm looking for is Ballas. Malice, I think where they really got my attention, where they got on my radar, is when I heard Malice in the track called I'm Not Like You. in the last verse, and it goes, so for rappers, I'm talking as if we ain't the same. We ain't in the same. I tell you quick. No, I move coke. And my apologies to you, Clips fans, as I butcher these lyrics. So forgive me if I don't receive you with open arms. It shames me with no ends to feed this poison to those who could very well be my kin. But where there's demand, someone will supply. So I feed them their needs and will at the same time cry. Yes, it pains me to see them need this. All these lost souls, and I'm their Jesus. Deepest regrets and sympathy to the streets. I seen them pay for their fix when their kids couldn't eat. And with that in mind, I still didn't quit. And that's how I know that I ain't shit. Damn, man. That verse, for me, captures the complexity, the evils of drug selling and the appeal. It's kind of like when Pac used to say, I can't blame the dealers. My mama's welfare check bought the next man's chrome wheels. That kind of acknowledgement. First, let me just start by saying, let me just talk about quickly about the album. I'm not going to do a review because I don't know. I'm not in a position to do reviews. I'm just going to say that, one, the album, it was released on the 11th, but I remember the days leading up to it and how it created a buzz. And it's been a while. I didn't think I would live. There would be an album that would excite me. I was convinced that I was too grown to get excited over the release over a rap album. But no, shout out to the promo team for the clips in this album, because they created a buzz for it. I was excited. And I remember words were coming out that Kendrick had a track on it, that it was just, I was so excited to hear about it. And I remember I was at work minding my own business. Who am I kidding? I was on surfing on the internet, and word got out. I saw the reminder that, yo, the album is out, and I'm being excited. The album was so good. My point is, I'm getting excited, hitting play on my phone because I was using some streaming service to use it, not Spotify, whatever, YouTube music, to listen to it, and I enjoyed it. I kind of regret it. Like, it was the kind of album I wish I was, like, holding on to a record, CD, or tape and watching the inside. It was that great. But whatever, man. I was listening to it while I was at work. And for that brief moment while I was listening to the album, I was, that was my career as a drug dealer. That's why this episode is called My Career as a Drug Dealer, because my career as a drug dealer is pretty much listening to my favorite rappers talking about selling drugs, and I would like fantasize about being a drug dealer. Now, don't get me wrong. Let me establish that. Let me try to pretend to be a mature podcast, because I just realized that I forgot to talk about the album. Yes, it's the fourth album by the American rap duo, The Clips. It's came out July 11th. Recorded 2000, whatever, studio. Well, I'm not going to read that. Self-released album. Okay. Producer is Pharrell Williams. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, shit. Okay, so the last album by The Clips was in 2009, and it was Till the Casket Drops. And whatever, man. Look at me trying to be like a mature album. It's a dope album. Go out and cop that album, man. Now, I'm not going to tell you to listen. Do what you feel. But yeah, I enjoyed the album. That's all that matters. But one thing I did like even more than the album is watching these two on Tiny Desk. Jesus, my God, it was a great presentation. But what I like the most is seeing the brotherhood. Seeing Pusha T rapping with his brother, No Malice. Malicious, or Malice, that's all, I don't know how it goes by name. But seeing those two rap together. I posted this on Blue Sky, and I said that it made me feel like watching Stringer Bell and Avon Barksdale at their prime. Again, if you haven't seen The Wire, shame on you. Matter of fact, I might make it a prerequisite because I make frequent references to The Wire. But seeing those two at their prime when they were unfuckwittable, all I know is Drake, Alchitabin. Yo, go sit down, Drake, Gabi, Tabi. I feel Malice might be the cruel one in the group. Actually, no, he's a born again, isn't he? Whatever. But I feel like Malice might be the one who's like, hey, the next rap video is we're going to do it in front of Drake's dead body. So I don't know, whatever, man. I'm just saying. It was just good seeing the two together. Now I know when people got excited when EPMD broke up and they got back together. For me, I don't know. I think I just got excited at the reunion between these two, and they got good chemistry with each other. I don't know. They rap so well. He speaks so well. So yeah. So got that out the way. Enjoy the album. Cool. Now, I just had a memory of, okay, the next part I'm going to talk about is escapism, right? And the reason I was laughing is because I was thinking about back in the days, I was in the car and I had a friend of mine, actually my dad was, my dad was driving us, but in the tape deck I had Tupac, by definition of a thug nigga, playing by Tupac. And there's a verse that there's a lot. He goes, before I go broke, I'll be a drug dealer. And my Hotep friend who was in the back, who was trying to get us on the righteous path, you know, I used to hang out. If I wasn't hanging out with the Christian who wanted to save me, I was hanging out with the pro-black folks who wanted me to be righteous. What the fuck you mean you're eating that pork? What you looking at that white woman for? You know, like, to just, like, people who like to tell you what to do. That was, but anyway, so he heard that verse. And I remember he put me in a situation, was like, you hear that, be black? I'm not going to use my government name on the podcast, because you hear that, be black? Before I go broke, I'll be a drug dealer. You listen to that crap. And I couldn't defend myself. I didn't know how to, I was like, you know, that's a good point. That is fucked up to say, but I'm still going to listen to this shit. And fast forward to now, if I could go back in time, I would have said, man, fuck you for fucking with my, yo, it's escapism. Escapism. And so when I talk about fantasizing about being a drug dealer, I'm not talking about the bad parts. I'm talking about the good side of selling crack. Oh, let me see if I had that joke. Let me have that.
Well, I think we always focus on the negative side of the crack. Always on the negative side of the crack. What about the good side of the crack? What about the beauty of crack? What about the good things that crack has brought into our mind that were not here before?
I'm not going to play the whole thing because I don't own the rights to this shit. But yes, the good side is crack. The positive side of coming into my... So for me, when I think about the good side of crack... Okay, real talk. When I was listening to these verses, my young mind for me is... The drug dealer was the epitome of what it meant to be a real man. It wasn't about selling. It was what it symbolized, being a real man. The reason I recited that clip by Bodie when he says, "Yo, you ain't shit." How did he say it? You ain't shit when you live in the hood. Did you say hood? When you live in the projects. You ain't shit when you live in the projects, but when you sell products there. You got the game by the ass, and that's all these rappers who rap about selling drugs. I think that's the point. Is in that world, that was your hero. That was your, like, I don't know, Superman, but that was your, like, billionaire. That was your, like, Elon Musk. Like, white kids were probably into cowboys. I don't know, being a cop, whatever the fuck, but. In that world, the superhero were the drug dealers. And that's what they're rapping about. Like, that world. And so I put in real man. I made a list here. Let me write that. I said, meaning a list getting the respect from your peers, having other men fear you. To be, what's how do they put it? To be on the, like, women, you know, we're into that thing. We're into you, you know, okay. If you've seen New Jack City, again, another movie that, shame on you if you haven't seen it. New Jack City, there's a scene where Nino Brown, the drug dealer, he walks into a club. They just, that's his intro. And everyone's like, oh shit, he's in town. And people treated him like a celebrity and whatnot. And I wanted to be like, yes, it was the symbol of being a success. Now, Clips, it's a lot deeper than that. Like, they just, it's just a crazy metaphor, but it's what they talk about is just being, it's such being successful. Bottom line, just being successful. That's what the image that you're being portrayed. So when I say fantasizing about being a drug dealer, I'm not talking about going to jail. I'm not talking about selling poison to the community and all that. No, I'm not thinking. I'm fantasizing on that particular aspect, masculinity. Now, as I was preparing for the show, and I was thinking about these quotes that I read, and the one especially, escapism isn't good or bad in itself. What's important is what you are escaping from and where you're escaping to. And I'm realizing the unhealthy aspect of it. What I was escaping from was myself. And what I mean by that is I was a hella insecure back then. I mean, I'm still struggling with it, but it was a lot worse. I still remember I used to enjoy going to the clubs, but it was what I felt the least, the worst about myself. I felt like, oh my God, it was, yeah, wow. If I tried talking to a girl back then, I reeked insecurity. That's why I would drink alcohol. But I felt like when I listened to these, again, I'm listening to these rappers talking about, like, hey, if you were a successful drug dealer like myself, all that would go away. But yes, that's what I was escaping, that insecurity. I didn't like shit about myself. Matter of fact, actually, in my mind, I believe I wanted to be anything but myself. And these lyrics gave me the escapism that I was looking for. Now, I'm not trying to say that I'm you know what? It is a complicated conversation. Maybe it's one of these things I should write down. But I want to establish the fact that I'm not talking shit about drug rap. I'm not trying to say that I was fucked up. I'm just acknowledging that I'm just, aside from the entertainment, they were giving me the, help me, stop me from thinking about myself. Help me think about a world that my life, things would be better if I existed in there. Yeah, that's what I was. Oh my God, that was hard to pull out. But yeah, now I find myself on my quest to being a real man. How one of the criteria would be like wishing I was less emotionally intelligent, because part of the definition is of being a real man is, yeah, what the fuck you doing thinking about your emotions, reflecting and shit. Fake it till you make it, nigga. Anyway. I ain't got more to say. I ain't got past that part. I just thought it was deep, man. And, no, I'm thinking of, probably one last point is, Jay-Z. I'm thinking about my childhood. Yeah. Jay-Z in one of his songs, Ignorant Shit. Yeah, that's the name of the song, Ignorant Shit. And it's on the album, American Gangster. And the song ends with him saying, it's only entertainment. Which is true. But back then, I couldn't tell me differently. No, it's a lifestyle. They were as well as preaching to me, like, they were just as well of being another, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Did I tell you about Jesus? But hey, let me tell you about this gangster lifestyle. And I know that wasn't the intention. But back then, for me, it was, oh, tell me more about this lifestyle. Tell me more. Again, a world that I could exist and not be who I am. I'm looking at the times. Okay, all right. We're going to wrap this up. The last thing I had is I had a list of, but I'm not going to read them. And it's just something that came up I found on Reddit, on Hip Hop 101. It goes, best Coke punchlines. What do you all think are the best? Anyway, they made a list, and I kind of like these. It's like riding with bricks in the whip. That's one brave move. 38 special. Yeah, shout out to Benny the Butcher. I think I actually did an episode where I talked about how much I love drug rap, and I think I already did this. But I still remember, what is it, Jay-Z's line. The one, I don't know if it's in there, but the one I would put is, I took trips with so much shit in the whip that if the cops pulled us over, the dogs would get sick. Sniff! Get it? Whatever. All right, man. So, I'm kind of hoping some of you listeners love hip-hop. You know what I'm kind of hoping? And you kind of need to. It's a kind of prerequisite. And whether you... the other reasons why I was... Listening to the album was probably, I felt like it was the best part of my day. And, but I was at work, answering email. I'm like, man, fuck these emails. And that's where I was like, man, I was angry at my parents for not encouraging me to go into that lifestyle. Shame on them. I'm trying to make this into a bit, but whatever, we'll see where it goes. But with that said, this concludes today's episode, recorded on a Saturday. Possibly edited on a Sunday, but we'll see how that goes. I might do it now, but I kind of want to smoke this joint. So let's wrap this up and say thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed Clips' new album. Take it easy. Reminder that the website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Have you heard the new Clips? What'd you think of it? Well, have you used Clips' music or any other rapper who raps about selling drugs as a form of escapism like I did? God forbid. I mean, yeah, I did. Now I'm in prison. Ooh, wow. Ooh, wow. That was, wow. That's tough break. Tough break. Anyway, before I end this, do I need to say that I've never sold drugs in my life? Do I need to say that? Shit, like, whatever. I mean, in case of going to court. DA want to play this in court. I've never had a career in drug dealing because I think probably the best part, one of the best realization as a kid, if I did have a bit of self-awareness, and I knew for a fact I would not make it in jail. I am too pretty to make it in prison. I would have violated all the rules. So yes, reminder, the title of this episode is indeed My Career as a Drug Dealer, but I've never sold drugs before in my life. Anyone claiming they did, they're racist or lying. And or lying. All right. Thank you for this. Before I did say the email. Yeah, check out the album. Okay. All right. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green. With the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question.
Are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff. Record labeled as a motherfucking crew. Oh, by the way, yeah. Fuck Whitey for flooding the hood with drugs. For Mickey, yeah, holy shit. You know what? If it wasn't for Whitey, there wouldn't be any drug rap. Calm down, people. All right. As a motherfucker, thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I am your king now!